Now that the summer reading season is in full swing, the dog days of summer reading, if you will, we celebrate a slate of books destined to be your summer reads or just a brush up on your knowledge and, well, maybe even have a little fun. To do so, we check out the shelves of one of our favorite independent bookstores. Matt Tannenbaum of the bookstore in Lenox joins us to share all the good stuff that he has been unpacking and has been taking over the shelves of this wonderful store. And the perfect treat for someone in your life. Matt, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hello, Joe. Good morning to you.
Just belly up to the microphone right there.
There we are.
There you go.
Closer to you.
There you go. It's a great pleasure to have you it's been a long time. I haven't seen you in a while.
I think we've seen each other once, I think, since last calendar year.
Yeah.
We've missed each other. But
it's a delight to have you here.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to see you across the transom here. Did I hear you say that I surprise you with books?
Yes, you do. Here's what I said. What I said is that I feel that I'm somewhat, you know, my life
you're a reader.
Is immersed in books and finding out when things are coming out and you know,
right.
Talking and reading all the trades and all that stuff. And you come in and present books that I've never heard of. And I love that. I just think that's so cool that there can be so much, and yet you come in and surprise me every week.
We have over the years, we have books. I hear this constantly from our customers that we have books they don't see anywhere else. And I don't know that that's quite true. I think that we display them a little differently.
Yeah.
I think we have I'm going to tell a trade secret now. We have low sight lines. In most bookstores where you go, there are high shelves because they want to display all these books face out. We have low tables and it's user friendly.
Yeah.
I hope none of my competition hears me say that. My colleagues.
I should say, you don't have any copy. You're all in this together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, let us begin. By the way, you know, we're headed over in your area next Tuesday. We're going to be doing a broadcast from
Tanglewood.
From Tanglewood. And my plan is to leave there and then come over and see you.
Excellent. I want you to see this show. We'll talk about the show Kindling.
Okay.
We'll talk about that at the end of the show today.
Very good.
Talk about
We'll
save time.
All right. Let us begin with...
Here's a book you will not want to read on your Kindle. This is London. This is 687 pages long. London, A History in Verse. Do you know about this one?
I've heard it.
Okay.
I've heard about it.
Okay.
It is a collection, correct?
It's a collection. It's an anthology of poems from ancient times to current times depicting London. We have, I was looking up T.S. Eliot, and who did I find? I found George Eliot. I thought, as I was reading it, I think,
really?
That doesn't sound like T.S. Eliot. And, of course, I misread the top. But it was George Eliot writing about London, T.S. Eliot writing about London, William Blake, Wordsworth, John Gay, who else? Everybody. I've bookmarked a couple of my favorites.
Oh, here, I'll give this back to you. I'm just having fun. I'm having fun looking.
And this is a heft of a book. Look at the spine of that book.
Yeah, that's 2 inches.
It's Harvard University Press, Belknap Press, with their literary lion, their symbol. And what I want to say about this book is not only is it a great book. Am I close enough?
No, you're fine.
It's a great book, but you get a sense of it when you're holding it in your hand that you don't get. I'm leading into my rap about Kindling and
No, it's a great thing. Tell us some of the other people that you wanted. Did you want to mention?
Oh,
did
I want to say who else did I have here?
You have napkined there.
Yes, I have. These are my bookmarks.
Borrow that from the wine bar? Did you?
Edward Lear.
I love Edward Lear.
What did he call those?
The Pussycat.
Yeah. But there was an old man of Thames Ditton. Who called for something to sit on. There was an old man of Thames Ditton who called for something to sit on, but they brought him a hat, and they said, sit upon that, you abruptious old man of Thames Ditton. What do you call that?
Nothing like that. It doesn't get better than that. And, of course, London is the site of the Olympics.
We're
in an Olympic mood. We're in a London mood, mood.
And the book came out it was published on the day that the Olympics opened.
So what better way to celebrate?
It's absolutely.
London, A History in Verse, with edited by Mark Ford, published by Harvard University Press.
And my daughter's in London right now.
Oh, good.
Visiting.
Enjoying the Olympics in any way?
I think getting out of the way of the traffic.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Enjoying it, though. The next book I have for you, I don't know if you know this one, How to Win an Election.
Oh, this is a...
By Quintus Cicero, Marcus's little brother. Do you remember Marcus's little brother Quintus?
Now, this is a this is something that's obviously been around for a very long time, 64 B.C. Yeah. And, you know, the classics get overlooked, don't they?
And it's a lot different than this book. Than this is, 64 pages, I think. This is reissued. This is just, not reissued, but translated by a classic scholar. What's his name? Philip Freeman?
Philip Freeman, who is from Harvard University and actually holds the chair of classical languages at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. And this is a really fascinating book about how to win an election. And
this is Marcus was an outsider, and he wanted to run for consul in Rome. And his brother, his little brother, said, you know, Marcus, you're a great politician, but you're not going to have time to remember all these details. I read this book, I've been reading this book a little bit over the last couple of days. It really reminds me of Bobby and Jack Kennedy. The younger brother helping the older brother win an election.
64 B.C., and this is what he writes about. What follows is a short letter. In his short letter are timeless bits of political wisdom, from the importance of promising everything to everybody, reminding voters about the sexual scandals of your opponents, to being a chameleon, putting on a good show for the masses, and constantly surrounding yourself with rabid supporters. We've come a long way, haven't we?
Isn't that incredible? That's why I don't have to watch TV.
Human nature. That's very interesting.
It's a great little book,
that's
Princeton University Press.
Good stuff.
Okay. The next book I want to talk about is Dangerous Ambition by Susan Hertog. Dangerous Ambition, Rebecca West and Dorothy Thompson, New Women in Search of Love and Power.
Oh, we had Susan Hertog on the program, and this is an amazing book. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, this is what Susan writes in her introduction, I think, is the best. Let me see if I can not paraphrase, but just quote right along here. This book came out in last November, I think. Mm-hmm. But I heard about it because the Shakespeare and Company in Lenox is doing that show, Cassandra Speaks. Toddy Randolph is doing a great job. She says, Rebecca would write tongue-in-cheek, this is Susan's, the author's introduction, that she admired biographers because they had the courage of a Canute. Canute was the king who commanded the waves to come and go, right?
Right.
And then she says, nevertheless, I justify my efforts. No, she says, I have had the utter gall to think I can understand and link two lives, women who were bound by friendship, consonant, social and political vision, such and such, such and such. So she knows that she is facing this terrible task, but she's going to do it anyway because these women deserve that.
The book is Dangerous Ambition, Rebecca West and Dorothy Thompson, New Women in Search of Love and Power by Susan Hertog.
And here's one more that I didn't even put on the list, but when I heard you say that I have books that you've never heard of, This is a small chapbook that just came out a few months ago by a friend of mine, a poet named William Corbett, and he writes elegies for Michael Gizzi. Michael Gizzi was a poet and a dear friend of mine, and he worked at the bookstore and lived in Lenox for many, many years. He died a couple of years ago, very young. And these are beautiful, beautiful elegies. And if I may read one of these over the air, do we have time for that?
I'm hoping you'll read this one, which I love. And you had marked, so I think you were maybe planning on reading that
one
anyway.
That's the one. Third and long. You die, and the already baffling world becomes more so. Letters no longer come. The computer I can't master. Then you leave us short another well-developed sense of absurdity. Beginning today, it is third and long. Nothing to do but go for it.
That's great. Well, that's very cool.
These are elegies. This is available from Catran Press. Not available in every bookstore, but ask your local bookseller to get copies.
Elegies for Michael Gizzi, and it is by William Corbett. Beautiful book.
Michael used to have Bill come out to the Berkshires from Boston every year on Apple Squeeze, and Corbett would read, and Gizzi would read along with him sometimes as well. Then we have three events I wanted to talk about very, very briefly. This coming Friday, Lucy Ferris, who was an editor at Black Sparrow Press, she worked at Black Sparrow Press back in the 60s. And when we first met, we talked about that. Black Sparrow was this great old small press out of Santa Barbara, California. First published Charles Bukowski, for instance.
Yeah.
She's coming to read from her book, The Lost Daughter, this Friday night at 6 p.m. On Tuesday, August 14th, Nicole Galland reading from her book, I, Iago, a book taken from the Othello legend. And we're hoping to get some actors come over and read parts either from Othello or read parts from Iago that night.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's Tuesday, August 14th. It's a change of a date on the original schedule. It was supposed to be the Monday the 13th. We moved it one day over to the 14th. And we had a great party for Jerry Elias back in July. His book, Death and Transfiguration. Jerry is a violinist for the Utah Symphony and the BSO. And he comes and he tells stories and he plays the violin. And it's every year he writes another mystery, it seems. I don't know if you ever read this guy.
Yeah, we have. In fact, Jerry's going to be on the show
soon?
In the next...
Terrific. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Jerry.
We look forward to it. Yeah. Hey, Jerry. Jerry's tough to pin down. We've been trying to get him for a couple of weeks, but he's running back and forth. He's all over the place.
He's got busy schedule.
Yeah, he got a book and everything else, and then a very busy schedule. All right, let's talk about the we have properly saved time, and we can talk. We're done with books, right?
We're done with books.
Excellent.
But we want to talk about books. Last winter, Jim Youngerman, an artist and a friend of mine, and I were talking about what show we'd like to put up in the Shade Gallery in the Get Lit wine bar part of the bookstore. And we've had great shows over the years. We had Alice Brock there a couple of years ago. We had Daisy Rockwell last summer. And I'm talking about books and e-readers and the demise of the bookstore and it's not going to demise. You look at the crowds coming into the bookstores, at least my bookstore this summer, and I think all the independents all over your listening area, we're just jammed. Is it because there are fewer bookstores, because the big bookstores have gone away? But people are so appreciative of the small bookstores, and they're buying books like crazy. It's great. We've had a great summer.
Well, and I, allow me to say, for you and for all of your wonderful colleagues that do this terrific work, is that it's exactly what we were talking about before. You get to go in, and you have somebody who knows what they're talking about and will tell you what are or suggest some great books that perhaps are not written about extensively.
I had a guy come in yesterday morning. First guy, I walk in, Jane says to me, this guy in the red shirt has a question for you. He says to me, last year you had a book on Bach and Newtonian physics. I forgot to buy it, and I didn't know the title, and it took you about 2 minutes and you came up with the title. What's that book? And I said, oh, man, that was a year ago. So I'm asking my listeners out here.
You figured it out, though, didn't you?
No, I thought it was Gödel, Escher, Bach by Hofstadter, but he didn't think so. But I'm getting that book in. That book's on order for him because we're out of stock on it right now. And that might be the one. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's the kind of calls we get all the time.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
So this is an art exhibit. It's up for a little while.
Right, we opened on July 7th.
And it's 25 artists reflecting on the changing nature of books. And unfortunately, I haven't been over to see it yet. I'll do that next week. But you did send me a bunch of the images, and it's just gorgeous stuff.
It's great, great stuff. The there's flying books. There is homage to what's the painting? The Fragonard. Is that it? Fragonard girl reading.
Yeah.
Bob Batterton did girl reading on a Kindle. Jim Youngerman took a piece from a Goya painting, Manuel Osorio, and he has crows eating books, and words, bird feed. The title of it is Bird Feed, and it is very funny. What you just did is what I hear all day long. People come out of the gallery laughing.
Yeah.
And the show warms them.
Well, it has great mirth, which I think is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, the surroundings of being around these wonderful books and then celebrating the book is just a good feeling.
It's just and then we have one display. Michael Schiavo, our poet who works for us, put a display up. What is it? Roy G. Biv?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So books arranged by color.
That's great.
And many people walk by and they think, is that part of the show? And that's part of the show because it's artists' impressions on books. So it's a wonderful, wonderful show.
Matt, I love talking to you. I could, we should do, we'll follow up and we'll have our own conversation on Tuesday.
Excellent. I'll see you then.
For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, you can go to their website, bookstoreinlenox.com. Don't forget the show, Kindling, 25 artists reflecting upon the changing nature of books. It's at the Shade Gallery at the bookstore in Lenox, bookstoreinlenox.com for more information. Matt Tannenbaum, you're awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.